new dawn has broken, has it not?
House, this is Davina. You are live on Channel 4. Please do not swear.
What, are you asking me if I'm happy? Listen, I've got £87 million in the bank. I've got a Rolls Royce. I've got three Stalkers. I'm about to go on the board at Manchester City. I'm part of the greatest band in the world. Am I happy with that? No, I'm not! I want more!
I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Welcome to the Brit Cult Podcast.
With me, Mark Knox.
And me, Ross McConnell.
Hello, hello, hello. That should be our new start. And welcome to the Brit Cult Podcast. Ross says I do a podcast voice, and I think that was it. Ross, how are you this fine week?
I'm good, thank you. That intro has perked me right up. I'm perked.
So this week, we have Rose Grey, a big superstar pop star. She's proper, like we had Lava LaRue in season one, whenever she was, like, you know, dropping some songs, is that how the young people speak? And she was at the Grammys this year. And now we have Rose Grey, who I genuinely believe is going to be a superstar. So did you enjoy the chat with Rose?
Yeah, I loved it. Rose is very cool. And you think she's going to be a superstar? I think she already is one.
Oh, that's even better. You know what? We're talking about her so much. The fans are hungry. Let's go straight to the chat with Rose Grey. Brilliant. Welcome to the Brit Cult Podcast, Rose Grey. Rose, would you like to introduce yourself and what you do?
Yeah, my name is Rose Grey. I am a creative musician, singer-songwriter, live in East London, born and bred, just about.
Nice. Rose, you've been described online, I like this, armed with her own fresh and exciting yet simultaneously nostalgic sound, Rose Grey is here to shake up the music we hear today, noting Primal Scream, Massive Attack and Cita Etienne amongst her influences. You've been building a name for yourself as a rather uniquely British pop star. What about that?
I like that.
Yeah, that came, I can't remember where that came from. It came from somewhere online. But I like that. It's, yeah, and that is why you're perfect for the podcast too. You are this new, current, cool pop star thing, but you have lots of influences and stuff in the past, which is what we post about every day in Brit Cult.
I mean, I know, I have actually followed you guys for quite a while.
Have you?
Quite a while, yeah. And I'm always reposting. I actually have loads of questions for you guys, but that's...
That's my favourite thing when people follow us. I don't know if you know the band Spectre, but I went to see them and they follow the page, and then I was like, oh my goodness, I really love that band. And then I was telling them that I was like the guy from the page, and then for like 2 minutes I felt like I was the one that they came to see. Only I paid £24 and they just took all the money.
Is that the first time you've heard that blurb written about you that Mark just read out?
In that way, yeah. But I definitely heard something similar to that.
Mark actually wrote that.
Did you?
No.
No.
I wish I could claim it did. No, no. It came from some article when I was doing research because I'm a professional.
Let's move on to some this or that. So every week, Rose, we do this or that where we give you a couple of options and we make you choose between the options, basically. The first one, and this one's actually inspired by a 20th anniversary at the minute, which is Dick and Dom or SMTV.
Dick and Dom. It's got to be Dick and Dom.
I think I would pick Dick and Dom.
Dick and Dom, yeah. Reshared a Brit Cult post.
They did?
Way back in the early days when we had about 100 followers, and then I got like 20 followers in the day and was like, wow. At that point, I thought I was destined for CBBC.
So the next one, we've got two more TV shows. Little Britain or Trigger Happy TV?
So I actually don't know what Trigger Happy TV is.
It was kind of like a prank thing, but a lot less mental than Jackass.
I don't remember. Right, so I did watch a lot of Little Britain, but in hindsight now, don't think I agree with a lot of the topics, but there were some sketches that I did love.
Yeah, Little Britain wouldn't get away with it now. I think it did. It actually, did it get taken off Netflix?
I would imagine it did. Do you know the weirdest thing? David Walliams followed me.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
I don't know why.
Did you follow back?
Yeah, of course.
He's just a fan.
Big fan.
I used to live with this fella who was American, and one day I referenced Little Britain and said, "Computer says no." And then he was like, "What does that mean?" So I was like, "Oh, it was a sketch years ago." And then he watched every Computer Says No sketch in order, but it's like the same joke over and over. So it's not funny if you watch a compilation where every line, the punchline is Computer Says, like, it was funny when you had to wait a week for the next episode. But he was like cracking up. And then just going, "I said it again. Computer says no." I was like, "Okay,
no, it's not funny.
It's you're meant to wait."
Yeah, that was probably the only like appropriate like punchline, wasn't it? So moving on to a little bit of music, we have either got the choice of Alex Turner or Mike Skinner.
Oh, that's hard, you know, because I actually kind of put them in different worlds.
They are in different worlds.
They are, yeah. I think probably for me and my music, Mike Skinner.
Yeah.
But like, I think I prefer to be Alex Turner.
I feel like right now, me and us look like a pound shop version where he is Alex Turner. I'm
Mike Skinner. Mike Skinner. Did you know that apparently Mike Skinner's like, did all the soundtrack for the Inbetweeners film?
Yeah.
And that's like his kind of like biggest income is that he.
Suppose it's like it's always on like ITV2 or E4. Yeah.
The last list of that I'm going to give you two Kates. Well, one's a Katie actually, and that's Kate Moss or Katie Price.
Kate Moss, of course.
Who picks
Katie
Price?
Okay, well, no. I love Katie Price. In lockdown, I actually, every week, me and my mates would do Zooms. There was a theme. Like, the theme was Katie Price. I chose the theme. We all came as different versions of Katie Price.
Somewhere. Nice. What one did you go as?
I did, like, Jordan. I was Jordan.
Mm.
Peak Katie Price.
But Kate Moss. Of course Kate Moss. I just love her. I love like her South London accent in that watch a little like interviews of her when she was, I don't know, just coming out. She sounds proper Londoner.
I love that she's been around for so long, and it's actually quite hard to find many recorded interviews with her. Like, it's all little short snippets. Like she's still, you know so much about her, yet she still does have some sort of air of mystery. The opposite of Katie Price, where you know everything because cameras were always there. But also, I think she's brilliant as well, and is what she is. But Kate Moss, I quite like that. Like, I feel like I know a lot, but yet I don't at all.
Yeah, it's true. She's quite mysterious.
Did you watch Price's recent documentary where she does her house up?
I've stood on a hill where you could see her house.
Wow,
that's in like end, isn't it?
Yeah, but oh no, maybe I'm thinking of Peter Andre and their house.
It sounds like you went on a pilgrimage. You go on this hill and you can look at it and you just, that's where Insania was written by Peter Andre. Oh, that's where it was all going down. So obviously there's a wide range of what is considered cool. I like to live in a world where Kate Moss and Katie Price are both cool. This is where on Brick Cult we like to celebrate all things. The NME used to do a cool list back in the noughties, and then that became a really not cool thing to do, so they sacked it off, but we're bringing it back. So if you had to pick, and you can have up to three people.
Hands down, Bjork.
Okay.
Like, musically, performance-wise, style, the fact she dated Goldie, like, I'm obsessed. Like, I want to know where she was partying, what studio she was in, how she was writing her albums. I just think she fascinates me. She still does, but yeah. I think, like, the epitome of cool.
Yeah, so cool.
So cool. Like, her album debut, I am so inspired by, like, how it kind of goes from, like, a really like techno-y dance track to something like really ethereal and like mad. Like musically, I feel like she had no rules, which I love that about her. Who else is very cool? I love the Ray of Light Madonna era.
Yeah.
So that's like end of '90s, late '90s. I'm really into that whole world that she created. Maybe also there's this guy called Mike Pickering, who I actually got the pleasure of meeting him. He's amazing. He actually liked my music, which I was so scared to play my music, but he was into it. He was like a resident DJ at Hacienda. I think he's fucking icon.
So Bjork, then we've got then Mike Pickering and late 90s Madonna.
Yeah.
That's the three. I recently got really into, do you remember the Madonna song, Don't Tell Me? And in the video, she's a cowgirl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just got really into trying to learn the dance. It's just a thing where I would like be walking around my house with my like thumbs in the buckles of my jean belt, doing this kind of tell me, and realized it was an odd thing to do. But if I thought if I could master this would be a really cool thing just to burst out sometime and go, I just did that. I didn't even practice.
I love. I've seen that Top of the Pops video of her doing that.
Yeah.
Love isn't true.
Top of the Pops are doing loads of real cool stuff on Saturday nights at the moment. Well, it's not, that's a lie. So for the past years, BBC 4 and then BBC 2 have been repeating Top of the Pops. It hasn't just got cool, it's just got to 96.
My manager, John Dawkins, massive fan of your page as well. Wow. We always share stuff to each other, but he Like, without a doubt, Saturday I'll get a call. I think it's like 7:30, it's on, right? Or is it Friday night? It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing, Rose? Put on the telly, Top of Pops. Like, without a doubt. It's like, I think he thinks I forget that it's on.
Yeah. it's so good, too. Like, and it's like, I suppose it was like, back then, people seemed to either, you're into rock, or you're into dance, or you're into this, but this was one world where it was all happening at once.
That is what I am, like, forever fascinated by the, like, the 90s, the fact that all of these worlds kind of just collided and made this beautiful music. And I don't think I was chatting about this with a producer the other day, like, I don't think they were, like, aware of the movement either. Which is what was so beautiful. Like, now, like, someone actually said this to me, which just blows my mind. Obviously, 1990, you go back 30 years, it's the 60s.
Yeah.
Okay, we're 2022, but let's imagine we're 2020 because we've missed 2 years of pandemic life.
Yeah.
Okay, 2020, 30 years before that is 1990.
Yeah.
Like, the power that the 60s had and the influence that it had on music in the 90s, and now the power that like the 90s is having on the music and the music scene. It's mad, but I think the beauty of what was happening in the 90s is that people, I don't think they were as aware of what they were doing.
No. Like when you watch, obviously I always reference Oasis, but when you watch Oasis talking about the Beatles, you don't think, because that was obviously 30 years before, you don't think that Oasis ever really thought that in 30 years from now they would be that to so many people.
Yeah.
And like they are, which is mad. They still have, they're not the Beatles, that's silly. But as in, to so many people, they're like the most important band.
Yeah.
Would you say, like, who are some of your biggest influences in you as an artist?
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe like St. Etienne, are a really big influence, kind of like, they're like the tip of like Britpop, I guess, like very British subjects, but over like breakbeat and kind of more like abstract instrumentation. 90s, late 90s Madonna, definitely, especially for like my new EP. kind of even like down to like the kind of Spice Girls and Kylie, like that real kind of pop stuff. And visually, I take little sprinkles from all of them. Yeah. I guess I kind of like, I mean, like every artist, I just want to have my own like kind of footprint. So like taking all of those, but also like actually like what I'm doing now and the people that I'm partying with and the amazing creatives that I'm around have just as much to like give me. So like taking that and that and like,
yeah, well, that is the thing, that sort of longer written piece about your music is so true though, because your music sounds like it doesn't even just sound current, it sounds like future. Whereas a lot of people who say they're influenced by the 90s and the noughties are just regurgitating the same thing, but that's not what you're doing. You're taking it and bringing it somewhere else. The way that, like, where there was loads of bands in the 90s who were trying to sound like the Beatles or the Rolling Stones, I love the way that then there was people like Goldie who were taking like some sort of psychedelic aspects or the Chemical Brothers of what was happening in the 60s and making something new, and that seems closer to what you're doing than, you don't sound like a tribute band, you know what I mean?
That is the goal, that's what I'm trying to do.
Rose, sticking with music, so you talked a little bit about your first CD that you ever bought, but what about like your first gig or the first like live music event that you went to? Can you remember who it was, when it was?
Embarrassing. I think it is Justin Bieber at the O2 Arena.
Nice. What year?
I don't know. Like, it's like, I think like 2009, 10. I know that, so maybe we can fact check this. Lady Gaga was supporting. No.
Ah, oh, what a show.
No, Pussycat Dolls. Sorry, Pussycat Dolls was my first show. Pussycat Dolls. Supporting was Lady Gaga and Neo.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
That's a big show.
Lady Gaga only had one song out. I remember thinking, who is this woman? She was like laid on the floor for half of her set. But like obsessed from the moment I first saw her.
Yeah, Lady Gaga is like really cool, but I feel like I'm only getting in there now. There was a very Madonna-esque thing about her too, that at the time I thought, this is music for like losers. And then at that point I'm reading anime. But now I'm going, oh my goodness, she was brilliant. I'm also going to see Justin Bieber next year in Manchester.
Are you?
Yeah.
Do you know what? He's a showman. He plays like, I remember he played like sax, keys, guitar, bass, like all in his show, danced.
Yeah. Let's stay in the 90s, but moving on from music for a second. Fashion. Rose, you're a style icon as well. And I want to know some of your fashion icons. And is your hair in any way inspired by Jerry Halliwell?
I knew that was coming. Yeah, so fashion icons, Lady Miss Keir, the lead singer of Beelight.
Yep.
It still blows my mind how like some of my mates don't know who she is, but I just, everything she's worn, I want. Yep. Like I'm tracking down some of her outfits. I need to get my hands on them.
Isn't that the most fun thing to do?
Yeah.
Whenever you look, especially if it's like from the 90s, and then you find the exact thing and you get it, and you're like, yes, I think it's the most fun I ever have.
Yeah, she's definitely a style icon for me.
We had a guy, Anthony Crank, used to be on T4. He's actually in Coronation Street this week. He was on the podcast last season, and he loved her. He was talking about her for ages.
Oh my gosh, obsessed. And there's certain people like that are just, someone actually said, so my best mate's a hair colorist, and when we did my hair, he said that the woman next door like came into his shop the next day and was like, that girl has Lady Miss Keir's hair.
Wow.
I want that. I've always wanted to get that color, that shade. Like, they're a diehard Lady Miss Keir fans. Yeah. And I really aware of that, because I don't know where I think she's DJing now, but I want her to know the impact she's had on so many people's lives.
Yeah.
My icon.
it's also good when people get your reference, like when you've done the hair and someone, you're like, yeah, that's who it is.
Yeah, I mean, the Jerry Halliwell, it's really mad. I feel like up until now I've actually like kind of had every era of Spice Girl, and I've found my way to Jerry.
So we make a playlist. We have a playlist that's on Apple Music and Spotify, and every week we add a song and we get our guest to add a song to the soundtrack. I mean, it's been down, the soundtrack's been added to at least 5 phones, so pressure's on.
I bet that's
Yeah, it's a good play. I put it on quite often. So we will, you may have already chosen your song. I'll give you a second to think, and we'll start with Ross. Ross, do you know what you're going to add? You shook your head. Do you know what you're going to add to the playlist this week?
Well, that's the first thing when I sat down to do this podcast, I thought I haven't got a song in my head to add. So inspired by this podcast, because he's been brought up like twice. He's not actually British. Is that okay? But he was part of British culture.
I'm gonna let you stick it in. Just never post an Irish person on Brit Cult, or you get absolute abuse.
That's true. I'm gonna go with Mysterious Girl, Peter Andre.
Yeah, that is an absolute tune. He is Australian, but you know what? He's also feels like one of ours.
He's lived here for over 10 years, hasn't he?
He has, and he's
been here for 10 years. You can go onto our playlist.
Yeah, I think he's doing great in the West End at the minute as well. Anyone's interested?
Well, so
Peter Andre in the playlist.
Peter Andre. I am going to choose this week. I haven't added it before, I don't think. I'm going to choose, I think it's One Hit Wonder, but the song "How Bizarre" by OMC. It's an absolute tune. Has like saxophone in it. It reminds me of, there's a band called The Rhythm Method. I don't know if you are aware of them, Rose, but they're the best band of all time. It reminds me of their song "Party Politics" as well, just with the talking, the singing, the saxophone. But yeah, that is my choice. Rose, your choice for the soundtrack?
I think I'm going to go with "It's a Fine Day" by Opus 3.
Okay, and have you got a reason? You don't need one.
Just such a beautiful dance record. I think it's mid-90s. I think it's early 90s from her album Mind Fruit. I'm constantly like referencing it. I go into the studio and I'm like, I want to make a song like this.
She did that sort of 90s, like that, what do they call it? Big Beat, don't they? Like that Chemical Brothers, Fatboy Slim. Like there's no like documentary on that era, and I wish there was one. And if I can make documentaries, then I would go look into that, because it was that era where that all sort of really crossed over into being mainstream.
Yeah, there's like loads of documentaries on like rave culture and the rave scene, but there's a really good documentary on like Primal Scream, but I've not actually seen one on. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, especially that, you know, whenever like it really became mainstream, like when Radio 1 started going to Ibiza.
Yeah.
And it was now like what was once subculture was now what people were listening to work on the way to work in the morning. There should be a documentary on that.
Maybe like Pete Tong should like narrate it.
Yeah. Because there's like, that's like, you know, Zoe Ball, she's an icon to me as well, does Radio 2 Breakfast Show. She went over with Radio 1. And then was going to go to bed because she had to do the breakfast show. And then met Norman Cook, Fatboy Slim. And he said, do you want to not go to bed with me tonight? And she then stayed up all night with him and partied all the way through. And then partied until 5 a.m. And then went on Radio 1 at 6 a.m. And then they fell in love and got married. And they're not together now, but that's a spoiler ending. But yeah, amazing. Like, I want to hear that. I want to hear that story.
I want to see that film, actually.
Yeah. It should be a film. Have you anything that you would like to plug, Rose, to our listeners?
I'm going to have my EP is coming out on the 10th of June. And there's actually a tune on there that I think, as a Robbie Williams fan, Mark, you might like, called Cupid, that someone actually said to me that it reminds them of Robbie Williams.
Wow, I'm all over that straight away. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
So, EP's out 10th of June. Good. Make sure you go and download it, all you people that listen to this podcast. Thank you so much, Rose, for
me
for being on. And yeah, it's been super.
That was Rose Gray. Great references. I love that her hair is based off one of the Spice Girls. That's what we thought. That's what Mark thought. Great chat. Did you enjoy that, Mark?
Really enjoyed it. Really enjoy it. And if you enjoy Rose's chat, you're going to love her music.
Yeah. Go and check her music out.
Postbag this week. Before we find out what we asked for, let's hear the jingle.
Postman Pat, Postman Pat, Postman Pat and his black and white cat. Early in the morning, just as day is dawning, he picks up all the postbags in his van.
So in the postbag this week, Ross, you chose the postbag question and there was a reason for it. Do you want to tell us why?
Yeah, so it's the 20th anniversary of Dick and Dom in Da Bungalow. And to celebrate the 20th anniversary, they are doing a live show tour around the UK. And for us to celebrate it, we asked you what your favourite thing about Dick and Dom in Da Bungalow was. And we got some good answers.
Mm-hmm. Let's pull one out of the post bag here. Somebody said everything, which I like, but we've got pure chaotic silliness. They came and DJed at my uni in 2018 and were very fun still.
Yeah, so this for some of my like childhood heroes, it seemed to be a thing that they start to do nightclub appearances instead of children's TV. Like Paul Chuckle.
Yeah.
Used to do, I don't know if he still does, maybe he does, loads of nightclub appearances. Dick and Dom, DJ, a student, I suppose because there's people that grew up with them.
Yeah.
Lots of people have written in here to say bogeys, of course. Margaret, I was just chatting. They spelled bogeys with one O, which everyone has spelled it with one O, so we assume that everyone is right. But reading it, I just can't see anything but bogeys.
It looks like bogeys to me.
Maybe we should start our own brick cult version of bogeys. It's the exact same, but instead you show bogeys. What else have we got in the postbag, Mark? Apart from bogeys.
It was fun and stupid, and there was nothing else on kids' TV that was even half as chaotic. That's so true. You know, compared to like a Blue Peter.
Yeah. Or right.
It was like just that extra step. Even more so than SMTV. It was the first Saturday morning kids show that was about kids. It wasn't about pop stars or superstars coming on to be interviewed. You know, SMTV still had pop stars coming on, live and kicking and all this, but they didn't care about pop stars. They just cared about kids and making kids laugh.
It was, I mean, you think, oh, maybe it was really clever, but it was also really stupid. Like, they took, like, normal daytime TV shows and then just changed it to incorporate loads of custard.
Mm-hmm.
They did like Deal or No Deal, which was just muck or no muck. And they just got like buckets of custard thrown over them. And then it was Strictly Come Muck Muck, which was just dancing in literally a puddle of custard. And then at the end of the show, every week, it would be the Ace of Spades would come on and they would all just throw like ridiculous amount of custard. They must have sponsored Ambrosia because the amount of custard they used was crazy.
What did they call them? The housemates, the people that were on that each week, or what were they called?
I think so, because they pretended that they all stayed in the bungalow over the weekend.
I wonder, has anyone who, if you're listening to this podcast and you were ever on Dick and Dom in the bungalow, get in touch and let us know what was fun and chaotic in real life.
Someone else has said Stoke-on-Trent, which I can only assume is the cat that used to pop out from the flap.
Yeah.
And he sang in that week because someone else actually said, what was the other one?
Sheffield,
which I assume again was the cat.
Yeah. Were the innuendos on purpose?
Well, someone else here said make Dick sick. And listen, this show's being presented by 21 year olds, of course, creamy muck muck, make Dick sick.
Yeah. That's what someone said. It was a kid's show, but I'd say it had a lot of adult sense of humour in it. Anyway, so we'll close the post bag there for the night. The football is on. So thank you all for getting in touch. Thank you all for listening to the podcast. And all that's left for us to say is good night.
God bless.
Don't have a night, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.